Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a great joy when a church wants to talk about my two favourite topics, Jesus and social justice, and in this case, slavery. So I think I'm amongst friends this morning. The last few years, I think, have been a battle for a lot of us in many different ways. I know we've got some people online. There's a battle even to be here in person. I actually was quite recently in Cambodia with the International Justice Mission. And it's hard not to remember about COVID-19 because literally you get off the plane, people are wearing these plastic masks over their faces. There are like guns shooting, not bullets, hand sanitizer at you. Like it's quite a furore. Every shop you walk into, your temperature's being taken. So it's hard not to imagine, I mean, it's hard to forget that there's a big battle going on against COVID-19. Because people really think they need protection and that's a really important thing for them. But what I want to talk to you today is actually about a much bigger battle that's going on, a much more sinister battle, the insidious form of oppression that we rarely see here in Australia, a battle of horrific proportions, where thousands and thousands, actually millions, 40 million plus, are attacked day after day in modern day slavery. I might get the next slide up. I thought it might be helpful to give you a little bit of context before I preach and share the God's word with you today, just about who I am, what International Justice Mission is, because it's really, we often pray. There's that wonderful song, Break My Heart for What Breaks Yours, I think. We want to have hearts for justice. We want to, you know, understand these things. But it's really hard for us here when we're talking about slavery. It's like, isn't that a thing we ended 20 years ago? Is that still happening? What does it look like? So I thought I would share a little bit about my organisation and what we do. So International Justice Mission was started 20 plus years ago. Our founder was actually in Rwanda after the genocides working for the UN and was like, you know what? Violence against the poor is the real problem here. So often we make sure people are fed, we provide schools and healthcare, but if you are poor and you call 000, nobody comes. And so this threat of violence and this idea of slavery is a real, real problem. And that's what our organisation was set up to deal with. So our mission, in just a sentence, is to rescue millions, protect half a billion, and make justice for people who are poor unstoppable. And you'll hear me talk about the poor all the time because they're the ones with no police, no protection, and that's mostly who we work with at IJM. Next slide, please. So our world right now, a quick snapshot, we've got 40 million people, and that's so hard to imagine. Mostly huge parts in Southeast Asia, not in countries like Australia. 570 million are experiencing gender-based violence each year, and IJM work really heavily in violence against women and children. And 30% of youth globally have experienced some form of police abuse of power. And we work really like in countries like Kenya both with the police and with different NGOs and law enforcement agencies to sort of build the capacity there and stop that. Next slide, please. That's what we call the justice gap, if that makes sense. If you're poor, you call 000, no one comes. You can't afford a lawyer. The justice system is rigged. It doesn't matter. It's not actually against the law. All of those things are what we would call the justice gap. So just to give you a bit of a snapshot of where we are around the world, so we've got an office here in Australia with about 30 staff that are iLeader team who are campaigning to government. So we passed the New South Wales Modern Slavery Act last year. We're looking at companies' supply chains, human rights laws, that we're funding programs in the Asia Pacific that are ending these problems. So that's sort of what our team do in fundraising and working with churches like yourselves. Then we've got teams in Myanmar, Cambodia, Thailand, against all different forms of slavery and trafficking. At the moment, really relevant, we've got a very quickly growing team working on the border of Ukraine and Romania. And we've helped thousands and thousands of women and children in the past month. Basically the big struggle at the moment, and it's getting worse as the war goes on. People arrive, your SIM card stops working at the border, you're not sure who to trust or where you're going to go, and our team are working really closely with local law enforcement and other NGOs to make sure women have somewhere safe to stay, that they have a phone, that they know what to be looking out for, that they can be placed somewhere safe. Because it's a huge human trafficking corridor even before the war. So that just gives you a little bit of an idea about the size of the organisation and the work we're doing. Anyway, we'll stop there. That's cool. Next slide. So before I open the Bible today, I really wanted to share with you the story of Dom, because I feel like it's easiest to understand these things when we have a real human experience of what it's like for somebody else. So one of these people that's experienced horrible oppressions is Dom, an impoverished farmer in rural Cambodia. Dom was really battling to provide for his family, and just recently when I was there, I saw that 70% of families are in subsistence farming, and climate change and other things are really affecting them. So it's a really tough way to like feed your family. We're talking serious, serious economic troubles. So Dom struggled to even put food on the table, but one day a visitor came to Dom's village and made Dom an offer that he couldn't refuse. Dom could travel to Thailand and work on a fishing boat, making more money than he would ever dream of making in Cambodia. Dom agreed, hoping it would open the door to a better life and that he'd be able to provide for his family. Dom reached Thailand full of hope, and then he was put on a boat with other Cambodian men. And that moment, everything changed for Dom. Dom came to the horrible realization after a few days that he'd been sold into forced labor slavery. He wasn't paid. He couldn't leave. He was forced to work some 19 to 20 hours a day. So the boat travelled thousands and thousands of kilometres out to sea, so far beyond the reach of hope or anyone coming to get him. There were horrendous conditions. He had to work even when sick. Any mistake would draw a beating, and others were actually thrown overboard as punishment. And this seems horrific, but Dom's story is not unique. We have whole teams working in Thailand, particularly rescuing little boys from these boats. Now, Dom didn't know if he would make it to the next day, let alone see his family again. Living in constant terror and fear, this unspeakable torture continued for 6 long years. Now, Dom is just one of 40 million people oppressed in modern-day slavery. So not just fishing boats, wood cutting, rock quarries. I was recently on a surveillance mission going past brick kilns in Cambodia where we were spotting children working in those traps. Rice mills, silk production, anything you can imagine. The bricks making our buildings, the clothes we're wearing, the food we're eating. Most things are tainted in some way by modern-day slavery. And then, of course, there's the abhorrent reality of online sexual exploitation of children, or we call it OSEC, in the Philippines, where Australians are some of the most common in the world to be buying unimaginable, horrible materials of small children. And that's something that's incredibly distressing. So I know this is a tough topic, but I think sometimes we've got to talk about how dark these things are before we sort of realise that we need to enter the battle and what God's doing in these places. I get to see every day in my work what Satan's up to and the terrible darkness that's going on in this world, but I also get to see what God is doing and the great miracles and restoration that is happening too. But I will say this, it is a form of spiritual warfare. The darkness exists, and I think it's really important for us to be aware of that. So the enemy is dangerous, and we've just read then in Ephesians 6, I'll just read this verse 12 out to you again. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So true, I think the devil's scheme refers to far more than just modern-day slavery and the violence against those who are poor. But we also know right from the start, in Eden itself, the devil has been out to destroy men, women and children, all created in the image of God. This is why the demon-possessed man of Mark 5 would live day and night amongst the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. If people won't destroy themselves, the evil one will use others to do it. And could there be any more horrific example than modern-day slavery? A $150 billion industry designed to destroy the lives of others, of people like Dom, locked up for 6 years, not being able to support his family. So right now, I think after COVID, or with COVID still raging through countries, the poor are more vulnerable than ever before. And I'm sure many of you are supporting and praying for different organisations that are doing things to really be there for people in this time. But it is harder for the courts to put people behind bars. It is harder to run rescues. It is harder to protect people than it ever has been before. But God wants us as his people. If you're a follower of Jesus, he wants us to take a stand. Wearing the armour of God in the fight against injustice is what God he himself does. and we're called to imitate him. That's why, right now, God is calling Christians all over the world to step up in this battle, calling the church to take the lead in ending modern-day slavery, calling us to step up and stand up for the helpless, to speak up for the voices who cannot be heard, for every one of those people made in the image of God. It's nothing new. God has always called Christians and his people throughout history to take a stand for the poor, the widow, the fatherless, and the oppressed. And if you're going to step into the battle, we're going to need protection. Before I worked at IJM, I was a political staffer, you might say hack, and I used to rely on my own skills a little bit to get through the day. But something I have learnt, and I have grown hugely in my faith in this work, is that I cannot do it on my own terms. It is a daily reminder that it is only through the Lord and through what he provides that I can be part of, be privileged to be part of this work. So he provides completely for what we're called to do in this fight as Christians. Let me read from verses 13 to 17 of Ephesians. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, how do we know we're supposed to use the armour of God in the battle against slavery? It says it right there. We know because God tells us to. No matter what form of evil we're facing in our lives or different things that come up, we know that through God, anything is possible, and he provides us with everything that we need. Back in Isaiah's day, the people of Israel thought it was okay to bring lots of lovely offerings, but at the same time, ignore the plight of the widows, the fatherless, and the oppressed. How could that happen? That's God's people. They should have known exactly what to do. They were told to be known for their mercy, for their justice, and to walk humbly with their God. But instead, you had violence running through the streets. So when the Lord sees this in Isaiah, this is how he responds. It's some of the strongest language in the Bible. And God says, "Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak." Now that's from Isaiah 59, verses 15 to 17. So God essentially says to his people, "I am so appalled that my people are doing nothing about injustice. I'm going to put this armor on myself." I think it's good to remember that Paul was a renowned Pharisee. There's little doubt that he would have been thinking of the gross injustices of Isaiah 59 running through his mind as he wrote about the armour of God when he wrote Ephesians 6 that we just read. So imitating God, the church today can only take their stand against injustice as we wear the armour of God, just as God, he himself did. We're called to imitate him. But the wonderful thing to know, though, in whatever we're facing in our lives and against injustice, like what I've just showed you, that is horrific, that we do not stand in our own strength, thank heavens. We'll never win our own victory. We battle in the power and protection of Jesus, who in his cross and resurrection has already won decisive victory. Let me just read a bit more from Ephesians now. His incomparably great power for us who believe is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. For above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. What encouraging words. So I think regularly when we pray every day at work, our teams all around the world pray. When I was in Cambodia, I had this amazing experience where we had four different languages on the go at the same time praying for a rescue that was happening. But there's great relief, but also great hope in knowing that the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is what he is still doing in this world right now, and he can overcome any form of evil. So as we, sit in the 21st century today, and we engage in the battle to free those who are captives, as we meet horrible waves of injustice in our world, and all you got to do is turn on the TV or read the paper to see how many there are. And I don't know about you, sometimes I need to switch off from that. It's a bit easier not to engage. But I think when we step into the fray, when we decide to care, when we decide to pray, when we decide to ask the Lord to get us to have our hearts break for what breaks His, as we extinguish all those flaming arrows of the evil one's destruction mentioned in Ephesians 6, God says to us, "Church, put on my armor, you are not alone." And we'll stand in Jesus' resurrection power, we'll stand and we'll fight. And in Him, we will stand in victory. In His armour, we will set captives free. At IJM, we've seen some 76,000 people rescued. They are captives set free. And many of those people, the way they are restored, the way that they find their next step in life is actually miraculously when they find Jesus. And that's not the work that we do at IJM. We rescue anyone and everyone because everyone deserves to be rescued. But it is a miracle to watch people who, like Dom, who spent 6 years enslaved. You know, it's hard to imagine how you would recover from that. But when, you know, you see true restoration in them because Jesus heals them, and it's incredible. So I might finish, though, just with the happier side of Dom's story. So one day, the fishing vessel that Dom was on was seized by Indonesian authorities. Dom and the other men from Cambodia were allowed to return home. But to Dom's horror, when he returned home, he found that his eldest son had been deceived also and was being trafficked by the same people that he was. What an absolutely mortifying discovery. In time, Cambodian police introduced Dom to International Justice Mission, who had been working to stop labour trafficking in the region. As IJM interviewed Dom and some of the other men that had been rescued, we discovered a network of traffickers which had been going undetected and had been operating for nearly a decade. Authorities, through this work, eventually arrested three key players and brought down the ring. With IJM's support, Dom testified in court. The three traffickers were convicted, and thankfully, his son was then rescued and brought home. Dom later confided how proud he was to stand up for his own rights. He felt it was the first time in his whole life that he had been able to do this. He can now enjoy seeing his children grow up in safety. And IJM continues to build bridges between law enforcement entities in the region. We continue to dismantle these trafficking networks across Cambodia and Thailand and that entire region, which are just running rampant. By the end of 2018, we had seen an additional 8 convictions as a result of the work we'd done with Dom. So I would say to you now, know our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil, destruction and injustice. But in God's armour, we can join the battle. We can stand for those who are bowed down and oppressed. We can speak up as Jesus' Spirit works through us, and we can stand up for those whose voices, like Dom, cannot be heard. So today, I suppose this is my invitation to you to reflect on, you know, what you think God is calling. What role are you going to be praying? Would you like to support this mission? Is it just learning more about it, about what role your church and Christians more broadly can play in fighting against this horrible evil? But you, if you join with IJM, can become part of the rescue team. And can I tell you, it has been sad telling you some of these horrible stories, but the great joy and tears that happen in our office every time a rescue happens is, I can't really describe it. I'm going to cry if I do. So, but it's a real privilege to be part of that. So there are a couple of options. We might go to the last, if we click through, here we go. The Will You Take a Stand slide. On that QR code there's some different options. We have so many people, we call them prayer warriors, that are praying everywhere for rescue. You might like to join up to get prayer points and maybe that's really on your heart. Maybe you're someone who actually, you feel really called to be supporting this mission financially. For $31 a month, you can be part of funding rescue and restoration for children or families. But no matter what, I suppose my call to you, I don't know what's going on in your life or, different ways God is calling you to serve or be part of this mission. And there's so many important things happening in this world that you should care for. But I'm just asking you to pray, to have a think about, to ask God to put on your heart what His plan is for you. So I might just pray now to wrap us up and then hand back over to Christine. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that no matter all of the evil that's in this world and horror that has happened to people like Dom, that you care, that you've made every human in your image, that we know that we do not fight these battles alone and that these individuals don't, that we can wear the full armour that you have provided for us. Lord, we just pray for those in Ukraine and Cambodia and other places in the world facing horrible injustice. Lord, may you free them and may we know what our part is in that. Amen.
I think it's really important, actually, that we spend time in prayer, given the passage that we heard and the reminder that there is a spiritual battle, so we need to be bringing these things to God. So on your tables, there is a prayer guide, which gives some suggestions. You've also heard Amy speak, so we can be praying for Amy and the team in Australia. But let's spend some time now in groups. If you're not comfortable praying out loud,